Blog Talk Radio.
So you got your heart broken too, and you hurt so bad you don't know what to do. And you think that you're
your place. I'm Starla, and tonight Blog Talk Mom is with us, and she'll be sharing about the wounded spirit and about the dangers of judging. And without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, everybody. I hope that the weather is okay where you're at tonight. I tell you, the storms have been, one day it's like springtime, and the next day it's like freezing with rain and sleet and snow, and you're like, wow, you know, what am I going to wake up to tomorrow? So I just hope everyone's been able to make it through all this unusual weather, okay? And I wanted to start off the show. We have some comments that some people made, and I apologize. I just saw some of those tonight just before this show in regard to the show last week. And last week we were talking about the giving of tithes and offering. And the speakers last week were showing how the scriptures show that the tithe was to go to the ministry. And the comments were made about how that you didn't want to make your pastor a hireling in the position that they hold. And I have tried to cover it in a lighter way of stating that, you know, the attitude of people is what you look at a lot when you talk about things like this. And what I meant by that was, is I have been to churches to where the pastor was on the salary, and I have seen to where it was clear that the pastor didn't feel like a hireling in the church, and I've been to churches where the pastor got all the tithes, and the people that were still the biggest contributors to the church still had that mindset that they treated the pastor like a hireling. So in one sense, that has not to do with how the pastor is paid, I don't think. It has to do with the attitudes of the people. And so I didn't want the questions were asked, you know, like, are we out of order in the way we're doing this in our church? And that's not the purpose of this show, is to say that. The scriptures were brought up, and you can look at it, and true, it was during the times of the 12 tribes of Israel that, you know, the tribe of Judah was the priesthood, and that's, you know, the offerings and the tithes was meant, you know, for that at that time. I'm not going to say that your church, because your pastor's on the salary, is wrong. And since Blog Talk Mom's with us now, I don't know if Sister Kaiser's back on there. Do you have any comment to add to that, Blog Talk Mom? Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. It's good to hear you, Wild Bill, and I'm glad that people were interested in, you know, commented on what was said last week. And I think you said that very well. We're not in any way implying that because it's not, you know, the way we interpret it, that someone is that would be a hireling or, again, it's the attitude of the people. And you said it really well.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I did. You know, it's one of those things that we value everyone's opinion, and there's a lot of things that are black and white in God's word, and a lot of people try to make those gray areas, and to me it's black and white, and there's a lot of things that are gray areas that a lot of people try to take and turn those into, you know, being like it's, you know, I think you understand what I'm saying, my mind just went blank, but, you know, the things that are important in God's word have to do with people, relationships, and plan of salvation. There's a lot of other things in there that are productive to helping us in that process, but as we're going to be talking tonight, I think a lot of it has to do with individuals, not so much, you know, pitting everybody as, you know, all being the same. You know, we're not all the same. We've not all endured the same. We've not all walked the same path. And the one thing that keeps coming back to what my cousin told me, God's not surprised by any of this. You know, he was aware, and he promised he would never put more on us than what we can bear, even though sometimes we'll wonder, like, why me? But then you look at some of the things those people accomplished later, and you see how after they've overcame and they've learned to surrender it all to God, and you look at the anointing in their lives, and you look at how they're drawn, people are drawn to them to listen to what they have to say, and you're like, yeah, that's why. Because it's not just for the people that are whole, it's for the people that's broken. And whether we want to realize, you know, admit it or not, we're all broken in one way, shape, form, or another. And then the other part of that, which I really love, Rob's talking with Blog Talk Mom about this, is how easy it is to judge. And I understand that we all have different callings in our lives, and we have different tasks that we're put to try to accomplish. And sometimes in that process, I know, speaking for myself, that I have a tendency to get the big head sometimes, like, you've messed up my plan. You have messed up what I was doing. It's all about what I'm doing, what I'm feeling, me, me, me. And then we kind of forget it's all supposed to be for God. And when you stop and think about that, I didn't die for anybody. I didn't redeem anyone. I didn't make a way of escape for anybody. All I can do is share and let God do his perfect work in an imperfect people. So I didn't mean to rattle on here so much, Blog Talk Mom. We're going to go ahead and turn this over to you. And was Candace able to be with you tonight?
Yes. I'm just real thankful that Candace worked all day long, and then she came and helped me at the clubhouse. And then
came over here to the house so that we could share this with you. And there's a lot to this, and I don't want to take a lot of time from Sister Kansas' testimony. Like you said, Wild Bill, we tend as human beings to judge, and I don't think God spoke any more emphatically than when he said that judge not that you be not judged, because just exactly like you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. That's how it's going to be measured to us. And we're going to talk a little bit about a person's wounded spirit. And as we all know, we're a body, we're a soul, we're a spirit. And you see someone that is maybe injured in an accident, they have a broken leg. Well, you wouldn't expect that person to run a marathon because it's obvious that they couldn't, and you would understand that. But the wounds of a spirit, the wounded spirit of a child, breaking a spirit in a child. I know we had a young boy that came to the clubhouse when we first started it, when we first got a building. And he came in, the Lord worked it out, so it was just he and I that night. And he said he wanted the Holy Ghost. And we began to pray, and God marvelously filled him with the Holy Ghost. And so naturally he went back to his caregivers who were not married and not related to him, and shared his experience. And so the next time I saw him, the whole side of his head was scraped and bruised. And since then, you know, he's very kind, very sweet. He won't come to services. He came a few times. And you can tell he's aged, maybe not in years, but his spirit is wounded. And you see that in, you see that in children. Like tonight, one of the young boys said, he's in about the third grade, and there's been a breakup in the home, and he has gone through so much in the last few months. And they love prayer. They love our prayer times. They like to be, to join hands and pray. They like to get in the chair and let us lay hands on them and pray, and they like to give their prayer requests. And he said he wanted us to pray because he was going to be going through a lot of things. They're having to move. And I just, the spirit of a person, it means so much. I know when I came into the Pentecost, Brother Shiel, my pastor, who was so wonderful to me, but he would say, Sister Lively, you are right, but your spirit's wrong. You can be right and have a wrong spirit. You know, I can be right to be upset with somebody that does something, but when I attack them or I stall up or I don't go to church because I'm aggravated, you know, that's the wrong spirit. And you see people that float from one church to another or one marriage to another, or did it come because their spirit is wounded. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce Candace McCollum, who is a very beautiful lady. I mean, just very, very attractive. She's 22 years old, and I met her. She was in a program that was here in Mississippi. And Sister Candace, would you like to just say a few words, and then we'll get into the outline?
Yes. I'm 22 years old. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. Never done this before. But I met Sister Lively about 2 years ago. Like she said, I was in a program, so Christian Discipleship Center for, I guess the proper way to say it would be, for wayward women. I grew up in Corinth, Mississippi. If I can go ahead and share just a little of my testimony, if you want me to go ahead and.
Sure.
Do that now.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Okay. Yes, I came here about 2 years ago, just looking for just a fresh start, I guess, a way out. I wanted something different than what I had been given in the past. If I could start from my childhood, just to give you a little brief history of myself. I grew up, and I guess, like maybe many others, in a dysfunctional home family. My mother and father divorced when I was about 3 years old, and I don't remember a whole lot of that, but I do remember a lot of fighting and just a lot of, I guess, drama, arguments over who, where were we going to stay and this and that, and I remember fights over money and just this and that, you know. My mom remarried soon after she divorced from my father, and he didn't come around much. He had remarried and, you know, had another family, I guess, of his own. And so he would, when he would come around, there would be big fights with dad, stepdad, and everything else. Anyways, I just remember as a child just seeing a lot of fights. And my mother and stepfather actually, they made their money by selling drugs out of our home. And so we've seen a lot of people in and out of our homes, just a lot of things that no child, no anybody really, I guess, should see. And so that was what I was exposed to as a young child, just drugs. And if anybody's ever been in a that kind of scene, you kind of know what to expect there, just fighting, cussing, just everything. And I had this vision as a child of what I wanted to be whenever I grew up, and it was nothing. I did not want to be like my mother. I didn't say, well, whenever I grow up, I want to be a drug addict. I want to drop out of school in the eighth grade and do this and that. I wanted, as a child, actually, to be a marine biologist. I think every child has a dream and a vision of what they want to do with their lives, and that was mine. I wanted to be a marine biologist. But as I got a little older, I had two older brothers. I have two older brothers, by the way. Didn't mention that. But they, of course, were older than me, and they had their friends, and they went their little way and did their thing, and I kind of thought that they were cool, and I wanted to hang out with my older brothers because I was the only girl, and I was always one of the guys. So, I mean, I wanted to be with them wherever they went. And I just started at a young age, got involved in drugs. I tried my first drug when I was about 11 years old, and I just did that when I could on the weekends. And, you know, I thought I was being cool or whatever. That was the thing to do because my brothers were doing it. And started, even at 11 years old, just started skipping school. You know, my mom, she never really made us go to school. She was never really there. She was there in a sense, but she wasn't there. She was always out of it, you know, high on something. And so I just remember at a young age just doing whatever I could do for attention and acceptance. I wanted someone to accept me. So, you know, whatever that meant, I did. And so I just started smoking marijuana on the weekends with my brothers. And then over the years, it just eventually just progressed. I did anything and everything I said I'd never do. Just, like I said, I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. So there went my dreams of becoming a marine biologist. And I was really depressed, suicidal, thought many times, and come up with ways how I wanted to end my life because I thought that it would be an escape from everything, from the pain that I was feeling. I thought that I would be doing my mother a favor. I felt that I was a burden. Of course, Satan, he fills our lives with, our head with lies, you know, of that sort. But anyways, I just ended up strung out on drugs, started doing hard drugs with my mother. By the age of 15, I was exposed to crystal meth and crack cocaine, and I actually had a boyfriend who sold drugs, and so I could get it, you know, pretty much when I wanted it and how much ever I wanted it, and, you know. So I did that, and by the age of 17, I had was introduced to like needles shooting up crystal meth, and things really, really went downhill there. I was taken away from my mother and put in foster care at the age of 17, and I had ended up, I had overdosed on drugs, actually, and I was in the hospital, in the emergency room at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and DHS got involved, and I spent about 19 days in a mental hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, and from there I went to an emergency shelter, stayed there for a couple months, and I later went to a rehab down in the Delta, and, well, I guess I am down in the Delta. I'm from up north, Mississippi, sorry. But anyways, I stayed there a year and graduated that program and got with a foster family. Mind you, I'm 18, a legal age there. I was mad at the world. I was like, you know, how could you take me away from my family? I'm 17. I thought I was grown, you know. I was like, you should have done this whenever I was 3, you know, before all this mess happened to me. But anyways, I got with the foster family, and I was sneaking around calling my mom. Anyways, I ended up going back home, and everything was like it was, you know. When I left, mom was strung out, brother strung out. And I came back home, and I was like, wow, this is what I came back to. I just kind of felt trapped again, and I ended up, you know, right where I left off, and mom and brother ended up going to prison, and I was there, you know, and just miserable. I had nothing. I mean, nothing. I was a hopeless case. And a lady that became like a mother to me, she brought me here to Jackson, Mississippi 2 years ago, and she mothered me. She took me to church and everything, you know, when my mom had went on to prison. And she brought me to this place, Buried Treasures Home. It's in Jackson, Mississippi. And that was 2 years ago today. Well, not today, but 2 years ago. And that's where I met Sister Lively, beautiful, sweet lady that means the world to me. And thank the Lord for putting her in my life. But that's just a little bit of my testimony, Sister Lively. I guess that was a little out of line. But
no, I really appreciate you just allowing us to hear that, because you're not an exception to the rule. I thought when I started doing the clubhouse ministry that I understood. I really did. And I did not have a clue as to what some people are, what is shaping their lives. You take a piece of soft clay and you put it in the hands of someone that is a wonderful sculptor, and it can be a beautiful thing, but you put it in the hands of a vicious person and it can be a very damaged and crushed situation. And I appreciate what God has done, what I've seen God do, besides all the things that God has done to keep his hand on your life. And I know the trip we took, we were going to a service and we was praying and you were in the back seat, and the Spirit of God came down, and it was wonderful how God touched you. I would like to, Wild Bill, did you have something you wanted to comment? Did you get that? Wild Bill?
Yeah, I was thinking, yes. You know, one of the things that, you know, you've kind of told your story a little bit there, and I thank you so much for opening up and sharing that. But I wonder if you would mind sharing with the listeners what it like, what you feel in the process of trying to turn your life over to God, because we all know that it's a process. And as you know, we did a show here on the military people coming back. It was wounded with post-traumatic stress disorder, and you don't see what's going on in the inside until they mess up, until they do something out of the norm. And then everybody wants, you know, I mean, there's all these reports of our military being, you know, in situations where they get shot, get thrown in jail, and all these things. And so, to me, looking at someone that's trying to turn their life over to God and having a wounded spirit, that process is probably something different than most of us are aware of, too. Now, do you feel comfortable in sharing any of that with us?
Well, Sister Candace, do you want us to do the outline that you had about that's good. And one of the things, didn't mean to interrupt, but I'll just lead her through that because she'll have something to comment on each one. A broken spirit can be caused by a lot of things, like you said, Wild Bill, the post-traumatic stress syndrome, from being in a war, from children have hearing parents quarrel by incest, people that you love dying and no longer being there, divorce, criticism that's constant. And then actually a broken spirit can be self-inflicted. Sometimes people just really do that to themselves. You know, they won't follow, they won't listen, they won't allow God to really do what he desires to do. But if you compare a wounded spirit to a person that is wounded physically, if you start with the fact that it's got to be exposed, you've got to admit it. And so what scripture did you have for the fact that we must really let it be shown, not to talk about it all the time, not to always, you know, let that be our identity, but yet you can't hide it either. What were you going to say about that?
Yes, I do agree with you, Sister Lively, that we do need to, like you said, expose it, realize that we are hurt, that we are broken. But Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Wisdom comes from pain. So that's true.
That is excellent. And if we will be real and not try to not be real, I mean, try to be something that we're not, or to deny, be in denial about something, but just be open and bring all the parts. And this is what Sister Candace did. She didn't let what had happened to her be her identity. She was willing to come to God and go to these treatment centers and open her heart and go through their programs. And that takes a lot of discipline and dedication. And then she mentioned that there is a cleansing that begins to take place. Would you like to share about that, Sister
Yes, Candace? Ma'am. 1 John 1:9 says, and I love this verse, it's if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we speak with our mouth to the Lord, "Lord, this is what I've done, Lord, you know, forgive me of this and heal me, cleanse me, you know, just erase this for me," and he does, he forgets all that if we confess with our mouth that we have sinned, the Lord, he will. It's a process, like you said. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's good. I want you to go ahead and comment on that because you have to stop the blame game. It can't be
right.
My mama did this, my daddy. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. And I think that I did at a time. I wanted to blame my mother, and I think that we all, you know, if something, we want to point our fingers and we never want to take the blame. But it wasn't my mother's fault. You know, I made my own decisions. Yes, she did have an impact. You know, she may not have been the mother that I needed and wanted her to be. But I made my own decisions. I chose to go the route that, you know, I went. But later, you know, after going down a long, hard path, I realized that that's not what I wanted for my life. I wanted something better. I knew that there was more to life than what, you know, I had been living. And I'm not saying that I'm certainly not perfect. I've had my share of ups and downs down the road, but I know that, you know, God, he's always there to listen, and he'll pick me up, you know, when I fall. But that's a big step. Like, we have to stay in prayer. We have to, you know, if we do mess up, "Lord, okay, this is what I've done. You know, I need you to help me do things right," you know. But I believe
you have intense Bible study, right? I mean, you applied yourself.
Yes, ma'am. At the program that I was in, Buried Treasures Home, we did. hours of Bible study every morning, and we had different classes that we went to through the week. And, yes, ma'am, it was very intense. It was pretty awesome.
And really letting it be a part of your life, one of the scriptures we had is John 15:3. It says you're clean through the word. That's what cleanses us. And I saw,
yes,
I've seen that in Sister Candace in our church, and where since she's been attending Jesus Name Tabernacle, she has been willing to work in any and every program. We have a tremendous drama team, which takes hours and hours of practice. And her life is her talent, even though she's really, well, none of us are perfect for sure, but the children, they just, I'm going to steal her thunder a little bit. Sunday night, we had one of the most beautiful moves of God that I've ever been privileged to be a part of, and I turned around, and I mean, Sister Candace was in, she was in the seventh heaven. I mean, she was really getting an awesome blessing from God, and one of the little girls from the clubhouse was over close to her. She just adores Sister Candace, and all of a sudden, her little hands threw up, and she said, I almost got the Holy Ghost. It was like a
yeah.
cup in a saucer. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sister Candace.
Yeah, it is great to now, like, I do see, like, the young girl that you were talking about, like this little girl, she is so precious to me. She reminds me a lot of myself, you know, when I was a child. She kind of, I don't know, it just seems to me like she hides herself kind of behind her hair and stuff, and she's just really shy and kind of, you know. But I just, to see her, the way that she, like, I see her kind of watch me sometimes, and it just feels like it really blesses my heart. It's like, okay, Lord, this is really, like, so worth it just to see, just to be able to touch someone's life and, you know, kind of let them know that there is hope. You know, this young girl's growing up in a home kind of like I did, and just to let them know that they don't have to live that way, that there's a better, there's more out there, you know, than what they've seen. And it's just awesome to see how these kids from the clubhouse have grown, just to be able to witness that. It's an amazing thing to see what God's
before
doing
you,
there.
Before you got there tonight, I said, now, I'm not sure that Sister Candace can be here, but she's going to try to be here. And that little girl said, awesome! So
yeah.
thrilled that you were going to be there. Then I threw something on you as soon as you got there to help them, because they love to see you do the drama, and it's really good. It says in Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man or woman, human, cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. So it's not just hearing the word, but it's taking heed and allowing
right.
it to do the work that it's supposed to do. So you talked about you had to be willing to expose the sin and confess it, and then you had to be willing to let it be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ through the word of God. And then there's another step where, and like in a natural wound, you apply a dressing or medication. And the Bible says it's like a salve. Psalm 77:2 says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. David said, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And he said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. But he said later, there is a balm, a salve in Gilead. There is that dressing that God puts upon us, the Holy Ghost that seals us and watches over us and encourages and comforts us. And this is what Sister Candace was hungry for, that, even though she was in greatly blessed in the steps that she went through. She was hungry for more. And how did you know, Sister Candace, that there was more?
Well, I had seen it, you know, like I mentioned, the lady, Teresa, that brought me here to Buried Treasures. She Well, I will say that whenever I was a younger girl, I went to a little program called Saturday Morning Live, and that was in Corinth. It was just a little hour program they did on Saturday mornings, and I believe they planted a seed in me then, and I did see the lives of the ladies there. They were it was a Pentecostal church. They didn't really live by this. Yeah, well, anyways. I'm sorry. I seen it there, and then the lady Teresa, she really she made an impact on my life. She just by seeing her and seeing the way that she lived, just let me know there's more than all I've seen. I mean, I surrounded myself with, of course, people that did drugs, and that was all I need. But just I knew that there was more. Coming to bury treasures, and this is like a whole other world here. And just coming to the church and just, I don't know, I'm sorry.
But isn't that a tremendous, I don't know, that just speaks volumes, that we need, we either have the Spirit of God and embrace the Word of God, need to go to every avenue, every opportunity, and share this glorious good news, because it does make a difference. Somewhere down the line, it takes root, and then the Spirit of God can move upon it and draw people to the truth. And, Wild Bill, what do you think about that?
Well, one of the things that I've always believed, and I've had people say that, you know, that's really not what the Scripture means, but I believe that everybody is going to have an opportunity where God reaches out with a personal relationship to a person so that they understand it, to draw them closer to Him. It could be, you know, like in your situation where, you know, you were watching Titanic. You know, I mean, it can be, I believe that God is going to find, there's not a person living that God, that's of an age of accountability, that God is not going to reach out to. But the sad part about this world we live in is just as much as she was looking for a way of escape from her life, even though it seemed like it was the norm, what about all these kids that have all this opportunity that's brought up in churches, different denominations that had a lot of seed of God's word in their life, and they got parents that care and work as hard as they can to keep them safe and separate from situations like this, and all these kids are drawn to, like, man, I can't wait till I can get out there and try some dope. I can't wait till I can get out there and, you know, maybe go shack up with somebody or something. It's just the mindset of this world is so twisted and so evil that the part of it that you say that I really believe is we don't have time, the people that claim to be Christians, to be worried about politics. We don't have time to be worried about what's going on with this and that, with our neighbors, to judging them. We need to be that vessel that's shining out to a lost and dying world, or I don't believe we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Not only that, and I agree with you 100%, we're missing out on the joy of the Lord. There's such a joy when you get out of the area of judging and you get back into the area of witnessing, you know, and doing what we're really called to do. It's just, I don't, of course, there's all kinds of things that responsibilities as Christian in our homes and in our area, our work area. But there's a world out there too that is really hungry and very needy for some real involvement. You know, the Lord said just a cup of water that He gives to you, that's all He's going to require of you. But He will require that, and
yeah.
I don't think that's just necessarily water as much as it is whatever anointing, you know, whatever that He gives us, then we're to share it with those around us.
One of the things about someone like you, Sister Candace, that I'm sure is hard on you is, like, people that live what they call a so-so good life, when they fall and slip, most of the things they do is not seen. But from, and I'm not speaking about you because I know very little about you, but I know the people I know here that have came up with the wounded spirit, that's had the hard life and everything, when they slip or fall, it's usually pretty drastic. It's usually something that's pretty visible to everyone around them. And is it hard I mean, it looks to me like that would, you'd automatically feel you got condemnation within yourself because you know you messed up. But then it seems like everyone is judging you. Everyone is wanting to tear apart what you had before as if you didn't really have anything, and you know that you did. But then does it put self-doubt there? You might not even be aware of what I'm talking about. But
no, I completely understand. I myself have, like I said, I've had my share of ups and downs and bumps in the road since I've been here. And I've backslid. Actually, for about a weekend, I kind of left the church. I thought that I wanted to put my foot back in the world and just kind of see, is this really what I want, you know, whatever. And I went back out and, but I was real quick. It was like the Lord was like really quick, this is not, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. And I quickly called and, you know, got things right and got back in the church. But I think that it did, for me, that was like, it just let me know that I'm doing the right thing. I don't think that, you know, I was doubtful in any way that, I mean, I don't know if I got that part right, but
I at this point right here, because when Sister Candace did have a trial and was really struggling for a period of time, a very short time, got her balance, you know, if you're driving a car, it can be a wonderful car, but if you have a blowout, you know, it's, you know, you're not going to go anywhere, and you got to fix that. And I've been living with the Lord 40 years, and I've made so many mistakes that I don't want anybody to know it. I'll expose it to Jesus. It's none of your business. but at the same time, we are a baby in the Lord. Somebody coming up, we can just be really judgmental and very harsh, and I was. And I had to repent. I had to get on my face before God and, you know, realize that I didn't have any right to do that. I wasn't perceiving it in the right way. But I think when you love someone, like if it's in your family, we tend to overreact and don't use the same, maybe the long suffering and understanding that we would. And one of the steps, too, that Sister Candace, if she could read something that, she was reading to me earlier about breathing. You know, breathing isn't something you just get it all done not today and don't worry about it tomorrow. You know, or it's a constant thing. And Sister Candace, would you read that or share that with us about what we?
I sure will. Okay. Think about it. Breathing is something you're constantly doing. You stop for a moment and stop for a moment and see how long you can hold your breath. You couldn't hold it for very long. You need to breathe to live. That's just how our bodies work. Prayer can be a lot like breathing. Paul states in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. We need to connect with God in prayer. It is essential to our spiritual health and survival. When we breathe, we inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. Breathing cleanses us. And I'll give you an example of that. Well, go back to this. Here in the next few minutes, I would like for everybody just to kind of hold your breath, take a few long, deep breaths. And as you breathe in, ask God to fill your life, to draw you closer to Him. And as you breathe out, confess to God areas of your life in which you've been disobedient to Him and ask for His forgiveness. So in the next few minutes, we can take a few moments to do that.
And even in the simplicity of doing that, you can feel yourself get balanced or I'd explain it, it's like you're centered and that I think we just sort of get really uptight trying to fix things that's not even our place to, and then we totally overlook the things that we could take care of. I didn't mean to talk through your breathing.
That's okay. Silence is one of those things that's kind of strange on a radio. It doesn't really carry the same impact when people are looking at you, but that is a very good exercise and thought process to how to look at that. I'd never heard that before. Thank you. That's something I want to remember.
It really cleanses you to do that. And it doesn't work if you don't do that. I mean, I just thought that was really excellent, that several things that she shared. Would you mind sharing about your mother just a while back?
Sure. My mother, December the 15th, my mom's always had a problem with prescription medicines, and she always just takes way too many, and she took too many December the 15th, and she had a drug overdose, and she lives 5 hours away, and it was on a Sunday, and I just felt such a burden that morning, and Sister Casey, the lady that I live with, she felt the same, and after church, after Sunday school that morning, I called my mother's phone, and my stepdad had answered, and he said that my mother had overdosed, and I just started to just panic, you know, and, I was 5 hours away from home, and I didn't know. I tried to call the hospital to see if I could find out something, because my stepdad was drunk, and I couldn't get anything out of him, and just to see if I could find something out about my mother, and they told me that I needed to get down there as soon as possible, that my mother was on a life support, and they didn't think that she was going to make it. So I immediately just went into prayer and just started just pleading the blood over my mother, you know, Lord, just save my mother, you know. And it was a big step for me to just, like, just go into prayer, because if something like that were to happen, like, 2 years ago, I would have certainly just really went off the deep end and probably had an overdose myself. But I went down, or went up to Corinth, and stayed about 4 days until my mother got out of ICU. And, she got out of ICU, no brain damage, no permanent damage anywhere. And so I just thank the Lord for that today, for bringing my mom out of that. But in 1 Timothy 5:17, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And that's just what I did that day. I just prayed. I interceded for my mom, you know. Sister Lively, I think she wanted to comment on.
Well, it's a beautiful interaction when we reach that place with God, that just like breathing, we are just so connected to His Spirit. And it's hard to maintain that. It is for me. It might not be for everybody else. But it, but when I get in that, just like you mentioned, it just simply is breathing, receiving into me all that God is, and exhaling everything that's not going to work anyway, like doubts and fears and anxieties, apprehensions, and all of these things. They just weigh us down, and they hinder the faith we must have for the miraculous to take place.
Good. I got a question for you. I know when I was in law enforcement, I use this example a lot. When a policeman puts on the uniform, a lot of people say his personality changes, but what it does is he kind of can shut his emotions down, do the job that he has to do because he's got that uniform on. And I noticed that in dealing with young kids in these situations and things, it may not be so much something that they wear, but they have a certain mentality of how they talk, how they, you know, they're tough guy, and, you know, they know everything and all the answers. But I know that that is their way of protecting themselves. But the question I have for you is, as having been brought up in that life, what can a person do that sees children in that type home environment, like what you're describing, what can they do to help? What should they do to help?
You know, I believe that, I mean, I would love to just go out and just save everybody, and it breaks my heart to see kids, like, and I see it every day, you know, like that, just what you described. There's just so many different cliques and groups of different kids that are doing things to, you know, hide behind whatever, and because they're hurting, and it's like they have a guard up. And just from my experience and just from working, you know, with Sister Lively some at the clubhouse,
I just think that kids, they just really, and I know it may be difficult in some situations, but I think that they really need someone to, like, relate to them and, like, listen and kind of just, you know, just, I think a lot of times they just want to be heard, you know. There's things that are going through their head or whatever, and they have their opinions and views or whatever. Maybe they just want to be heard or just, I mean, you never know what kids are going through at home and what they're battling in their mind, because there's just so much, you know, out there. And so that's really maybe a hard question for me to answer.
Well, for example, I mean, yeah, you know, like, you know, should they get the local, you know, authorities involved when they see a situation where there's things like that, or is that even worse?
You know, my niece and nephew actually have been in their 6 and 5, 6 and 4, and my brother's kids. He's in prison, and they've been in and out of DHS custody and foster homes and stuff. And it's a real sad thing to see kids, you know, just being tossed around like that. But in some situations, it's better. And I've been kind of dealing with that because they're back with their mom and things aren't going right. So, but if there's, like, some abuse going on, if you know for sure there's, like, some abuse going on in the home, or, you know, like, drugs or violence or whatever, I would probably suggest that, you know, you get the authorities involved, because, you know, kids, they have no way to defend themselves, especially young kids, you know. They have no choice in that, and they're just stuck there. And I know it probably be hard, you know, call to make, but I would suggest that you do that. But that's just, you know, my opinion. I think it would be better.
Yeah, I agree 100%, but I know a lot of people think, you know, hey, this, you know, they dramatize the system and make it so bad, and it's not perfect. I mean, I in law enforcement, I got to deal with some of that part of it too. But in situations where there's narcotics in the home, I mean, those things aren't cheap, and they're having to do something to make the money for it. And a lot of times it has to do with prostitution and, you know, people coming in and out of the home that no one has control over, and then it's just this bad. It's just so bad. And as Christians, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that I've actually seen a lot of that, you know, in my few years out there, and actually experienced that. So it's out there. It happens every day, and it's just sad to know that kids are having to, you know, experience that.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
And they can tell what's real, too. I think that's why these young people are drawn to you, because they can sense that you've been there. You know, when you've been wounded in that way, you know, it's like if you're thinking about being an athlete, you know, you're going to want to look up and listen to someone that's done it, that's made it. And here you're someone that's been where they are, and you're coming out the other side of it and showing them a more perfect way. Is it easy? No. Are you going to fall sometimes? Yeah. But I know in my life, the biggest mistakes I've ever made are now my biggest strengths. Because I'm like, I ain't doing that again. You know, been there, done that. So it's one of those things that, you know, it helps us to become an overcomer. It's not good to fall, and no one wants to fall. When you got a baby going across a room and you're trying to teach it how to walk, you know, you want to hang on to the child so it doesn't fall, but you've got to let them learn to walk, and part of that process is falling. So is there anything, we're getting down here about the last 6 minutes, did you have anything on your heart you really feel like needs to be said tonight?
I just wanted to say, you know, you may not, I don't know, you know, who's all listening, but I know that we are all broken, you know, Sister Lively said. We all have a wounded spirit or some sense, you know. You may not have gone through the same things, but I know that the Lord, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you may have gone through in the past, that God knows exactly where you're at, and he has not forgotten about you. And like you were just saying, you know, if you fall, get back up, you know. I hate the word mistake. I hate that word. We make choices, and we can use them as a stepping stone or a stumbling block, and I choose to use mine as a stepping stone today. But
that's good.
I guess that's pretty much it.
Well, I appreciate you being on here. Blog Talk Mama, there's something I wanted you to share And a lot of times, you know, in being judgmental, the people in the church, we look at things and there's things we don't understand. And I just went through a situation and where there was something that I was being judgmental about. But in every church, there's a pastor. And the pastor is responsible for the people in the church and for what goes on with the people in the church. Has a lot to do with the direction and the flow of a spirit in a church service and everything. And you were sharing with me about a person that came to your church last week that, if I'm not mistaken, had been backslid and not been in church for a long time. Would you share what happened because with that person at your church service?
Well, that's really what the Spirit of God used to break down every barrier. This lady has, I didn't know her before, but obviously everybody in our church does, and she had been away from the Lord. She sang extremely well. And our pastor, even though we had visitors from out of town, we had an absolute packed out house. And we have a pastor that is so led by the Spirit of God and the love of God. And she went back. She said, I am going to obey God. She left the platform, went back to this lady, and handed her the microphone, and she began to sing. And about the third verse that she got through there, the Spirit of God tore that place apart. I mean, it was, Sister Candace, it was something else, wasn't it? It was just so good.
You know, the reason I wanted to tie the two together is because it's so easy to judge. You know, it's not hard to judge people. And, you know, someone could have said, you know, well, that woman's not in church. She had no business with that microphone and everything. I can't believe that the pastor did this. And, you know, and into a church service, you know, where, you know, people are here to receive something from God. The good people that are living right. And here we got this, you know, and all of them have talents and things that they could have got up and sang. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those things about, it is, it's so powerful to realize, and we talked about it, you know, last week and again this week, sort of with the tithes and offerings, the pastor needs to be the pastor of the church. And right or wrong, that's between them and God. And, you know, this is not a show on talking about the anointing and not touching the anointed, but when you got people that are hurting and people that are trying and people that fall and they get back up, and like Sister Candace said, she used them for a stepping stone. It would have been so easy for when she fell and then came back for people to just kind of pushed her to the side. And like, you know, you don't belong here. You know, you had your chance. It's all over. Because it's so easy sometimes to forget how many chances God has given each of us. And I'm speaking for myself. He's given me more chances than what I ever, well, just giving me one was more than I deserved. I mean, you know, with the things I've done in my life, if I'd have been God, I said it before, I'd have been throwing lightning bolts, and this world would have been in a heap of trouble, some of the things that's going on in this world after the price that was paid for people to have a way of escape. But God does it. He looks at the heart. He looks at what's there. He sees the potential of what people can be. And he never starts a work that he don't intend to finish. And who are we to judge a work that's in progress when we can't see the finished result? And I want to thank both of you for being on the show tonight. And I know that it's not really easy to open up sometimes and share, especially when it's something like this where you're kind of looking at a telephone, you can't see anybody. But I tell you what I'd like to just do right now, I think this would be a good time for us to pray. And I know I put you on the spot here, Blog Talk Mom, but I think we should pray for those that have wounded spirits that may somehow hear this show, or people like our military that may have friends or family that are going through some of these same things as our troops are coming back to the States. And we just pray that God bless them, show his love to these people and everyone around us. So can you do that for us, Blog Talk Mom?
I would love to. And this the scripture, again, that David, when he prayed and he said, God, I need a new heart and create within me a right spirit. And God did. And we know the results of that in David, King David's life. So anybody that's listening, they just join with us right now and just be honest before God and let God heal and cleanse. Lord, we praise and thank you for the testimony that was a testimony of victory, one that was real, one that was an awesome example of your love, your compassion, your long-suffering, your mercy, your grace. And so, Lord, as we agree together, you said if two agree, it's touching anything, it would be done. A threefold cord is not soon broken. We all agree on this program now that everyone that's listening, if you've been wounded by whatever circumstance in your life, now open your heart to God and let him come in and heal and cleanse and make you whole. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe that. We claim that by the power of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again so much for being with us tonight, and we're just going to believe that this is going to go forth, and if it just reaches one person needs to hear this, that's what it's all about. So thank you again. We'll be back with you next week. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.
Me, I'm forgiven and loved, 'cause I hear it from the street corner preached. On how God is loving, how man can be clean. But my joy has been on holiday, and my peace is almost passed away. Tell me I'm